Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins roughly in the middle of Daf Dalid. For those who like counting lines, 21 lines from the top, or if you prefer, 19 lines from the bottom. Today's shiur will be a continuation of the discussion that we left off with in our previous year. So instead of any words of introduction, we are assuming that you are picking up literally from where we left off last time, and that happened to be in the middle of a discussion featuring a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel concerning the definition of mav'eh that we saw in the Mishnah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Shmuel, the Mave equals Shein, according to Shmuel that Mave is Shein, my time aloma karav, why did he not follow Rav in explaining Mave as Odom, as a person, Odom Hamazik, a person who wreaks damage. Number two, Larav de Mave Odom, according to Rav, that Mave is Odom, Ha Katoni Seifa Odom. In the Mishnah later on Daf Tes Vav, Odom appears as a Mazik. Veloma Leik Filus, why double? Why repeat it? If Odom is featured as an Av Hamazikin, Av Hanezek in Mishnah, on the opening Mishnah, as Rav says, why repeat that on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis? Now the Gemara. As we said, 19 lines from the bottom, Ushmuel, my time alo omar karav, Shmuel, in explaining Mave as Shein, why does he not follow Rav in saying Mave is Odom? Omar loch, Shmuel will answer, Isal gadaituch Odom, if you were to think that Mave is Odom as Rav explained, Hakotani Seifa, that information is already contained in the latter part of the Mishnah found on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, where it says Shor Hamuad, Vishor Hamazik Birshus Hanizak Vehodom. The Shor after goring three times is called a Shor Hamuad, and a Shor, an ox that does damage in the private domain of the victim of the what that we call the Nizak, and Vehodom, and a person. Well, Velisni Varesha. So why, according to this, why is Odom not featured right at the outset, in the beginning, in Dan Daf Beis? Answer, the reason for that is that the Benizke Momon Kamairi, Daf Beis, the first Mishnah, is interested in featuring, and of course this is in accordance with Shmuel, only Nizke Momon. Nizke Momon is a reference to property that one owns, that you're the owner of, and it does damage, like one's ox, one's pit. Benizke gufa lo komairi. The Mishnah on Daf Beis is not interested in dealing with a person who bodily causes damage, where he himself causes damage. The Rav Nami, well, Rav, who says that Odom is featured in the first Mishnah, so now we would seem to have something repetitive. For Rav Nami Hokotoni Odom Besefa, Rav, who says that Mave is Odom, but Odom is dealt with in the Seifa. So is there not a redundancy here? Omar Loch Rav. So Rav answers, Hahu, the fact that Odom is featured in the Seifa, Lemechsheve Bahade Mu'odin Hu Da'asa. It is simply to include Adam with the other kinds of payment that are full payment. Full payment, as opposed to a shor tam, which only pays half damages. The docile type ox, before it gores three times, it pays chatzi nezek. So the Mishnah there was featuring those kinds of damages that pay full damages. You see that we have a bracketed section, and aside a note, sograim elu einom l'shem dilug. The brackets here are not for skipping purposes. Elo l'tachem, rather to lay out, to highlight the boundaries. Es haketa, the section, shem yuad laharos ech raf loimet es hamishna im havonoso shemave hainu adam. This is a section of Gemara that shows how Rav reads the Mishnah. We emphasize this. We spent a lot of time on this point in our previous shiur from Shmuel's vantage point. The Mishnah on Daf Beis was very brief. It was abbreviated. It was very terse. It mentioned simply that lo harei this kaharei zeh, meaning that one av hamnezek is not like the other one, and this one is not like that one, but it didn't elaborate at all. The Gemara, both through the eyes of Shmuel in our previous year and now through the eyes of Rav, will elaborate, fill in the details of how one primary form of nezek is not like the other. And the purpose of this, what I call this exercise, is to prove and substantiate the need of the Torah to spell out each one of the Avos Nezikin in a situation where I would not have been able to figure one out from the other. So when you see that each particular primary form of damage has unique features that the others don't have, makes it necessary for the Torah to spell out each one. So let's go through the bracketed section. My lo hare, according to Rav, that Mave is Odom Hamazik, so then how do we read the Mishnah with the lo hare aspect to it? Hachi komar, here, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Lo roi hashor shemishalim es hakofer kiroi ha'odom she'en mishalim es hakofer. Kofer is a payment made when a person is killed, but it's important to know what or who killed the person. An animal that kills a person, the owner pays something called kofer. Kofer is the market value of the person that was killed. That money is paid to the survivors, the heirs of the deceased. So the shor, when it does damage, amongst other payments that it must make is the kofer payment. So if the Torah wrote that you're responsible for damages wrought by a shor, I wouldn't know that you have to pay for damages wrought by a human being, because when a human being kills someone, there is no kofer payment. If a human being kills another human being, so if he did so deliberately, he himself is subject to a death penalty. And there, in fact, is a verse in the Torah that indicates that a person does not pay kofer when he is responsible for killing another person. So we see that the shor then has certain, we'll say, feature to it that you don't find by Odom, and therefore I wouldn't know that you have to pay for damages caused by Odom. V'lo roi ha'odom shechay b'arba dvorim k'roi ha'shoshen bo arba dvorim. Likewise, the Odom has, and according to Rav, Odom is Mav'eh, he has stringencies, features that you don't find by an ox. If an ox causes damage, so he pays one of five payments that we call the Nezek payment. Call it payment for damages. but he doesn't pay for, let's say, medical expenses. He does not pay for embarrassment caused. He does not pay for depreciation. He pays damages. The Odom Hamazik, a person who inflicts damage on someone else, he pays all five forms of payment. In addition to Nezik, which you find by the ox, there are additional four forms of payment that he must pay. That's why here it refers to the Odom paying four things. Four things beyond the Nezik, which you do not find in the case of a shor, an ox, that imposes damage. Hatzad Hashova Shebohen, the common denominator between shor and Odom, is Shedarkon Lahazik. And it also says in the Mishnah, Ushmirason Olecha. Their way is to, they are prone to causing damage. And the Mishnah also says, and their guarding is upon you. The Gemara asks, the Chishor Darko Lahazik? We were asking on Rav's reading of the Mishnah. According to Rav, Shor that was featured in the Mishnah included Keren. It included Goring. It was only according to Shmuel that we said that Shor was limited to, let us say, Regel. But according to Rav, Shor in the Mishnah is inclusive of Keren, Regel, and Shein. So, is it so that the shor is prone to damage through goring? The Gemara says, b'mu'ad. You're dealing with an animal that is a mu'ad. It already has a track record of goring. The Gemara says, u'mu'ad darko lahazik. Do you say that an animal, once it's gored three times, it's prone to damage? The Gemara says, yes. Kevon da'ayad u'rchehu. Since it's become mu'ad, since it's been brought to court, testified upon three times, and has damaged three times, it is considered darko lahazik. Urche is darko. It's darko lahazik. It is, that's its way. That's its nature has become one of causing damage. The Gemara asks, well, Odom darko lahazik? The Mishnah said that these are, the common denominators are darko lahazik. A person is prone, is assumed to impose damage. The Gemara says, "Biyoshein, a sleeping person." The Gemara says, "Yoshein darko lahazik." Do you really feel that a person, while he's sleeping, is prone to cause damage? The Gemara says, "Yes. When a person is sleeping, he moves around a great deal in his sleep. He rolls from side to side. He stretches out, and if there are things on a nightstand right next to his bed, he's going to knock them over. Kevon dekayef uposhit, since it's his way to bend and to stretch out, urchehu, it is, he is prone to imposing damage. The Mishnah had mentioned ushmiroson olecha. We made mention of this just a few lines up, and that's why you see arrows to the side of the Gemara text, that this was part of the Mishnah. Now, the common denominator between animal and person is ushmiroson olecha. Guarding them is upon you. So if you have animals, you have to guard them. Their guarding, their watching is obligatory upon you, the owner. Ah, but in the same breath, we said that this is a common denominator and applies to animal and person. But Adam, when you speak about a person, and grammatically speaking, Shmiras Gufo Olav Hu, you have to watch yourself. You watch your own body. In other words, Shmiras Son, watching of them is upon you, is an inappropriate expression when you want to talk about the person's need to watch himself. The Gemara answers. Now, notice we have a long answer marking. This takes us to the top line of Amud Beis. The attack on Rav is based on, we'll say, the phrasing of the Mishnah. That since the Mishnah says Ushmiras on Alecha, it's not likely that Mave is Adam. So in response, Uletameich ha detani karna, according to you, that wants to say that Mave is Shein, that Mave in our Mishnah is Shein. So according to you, the Mishnah is okay. However, there's a Tanaic source taught by Karna. Karna is the name of an individual. And in his Tanaic source, he spells out Adam. Tanaic source, his Brisa. Brisa is a Tanaic source. And the end of his Tanaic source, we're not going to see it in our Gemara text, but it's understood that the end of his Tanaic source is like our Mishnah, where the four primary forms of Nezek are featured. He has Adam amongst them, and in conclusion of his Tanaic source, though it's not printed here, it says, Ushmiras on Alecha. So the Gemara asks, fine, our Mishnah, you want to say Mave is Shein, but what about Karna's source, where Karna says Adam explicitly? Arba Ovis Nezikin, the Adam Echad Mehem. There are four primary forms of Nezikin, and Adam is, man is one of them. Well, and Adam, Shmiras, Gufo, Olav, who? When it comes to a person, he has to watch himself. It's not appropriate grammatically to say Shmiras and Olechon, yet in Karna's source, that's what appears. And in Karna's source, you don't have the luxury of saying that Adam is not there. Ela, Kido Omar Le, Rabbi Avo, Latana, like the way to get out of this is like Rabbi Avo said to the one who was teaching the Karna source, Tani Adam Shmiras Gufolov, in the source restate when it comes to Adam, there he has to watch himself. So Hocha, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Hocha Nami, so too with regard to our Mishnah, which says Mave, and Mave, as far as I am concerned, says Rav, is Adam. Tatni, Adam, Shmiras, Gufo, Olav. So have that built into the Mishnah, and then you don't have any grammatical problems. At this point, we glance at the side, where we have a Nosei/Mivne heading. A double underline appears highlighting the word maskif. And we'll also see diamonds where we highlight the Gemara saying the Eimo Mave, Hatsos Chilufios Ech Lefarish Mave, additional suggestions, alternative suggestions. Chilufios means alternative suggestions as to what Mave might mean. Up till now, we've seen Shmuel saying Mave is Shein. We see Rav saying Mave is Adam. Well, Maskif lo Rav Mori, V'eimo Mave ze Hamayim. Water that causes damage. If a person spills water into a public thoroughfare and someone else soils his garments on that, let the one who spilled the water be guilty. So, this suggestion is kidichti, based on the following pasuk, where you have a word that has a root form similar to mave, seemingly referring to water. It says, kikdoach esh hamosim mayim tive esh. Superficially, we've dashed underline here, mayim tive, so that mayim is associated with mave. The Gemara, actually, before we go to the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashi. Third line from the top, Kikdoach Eish Hamasim, Kamosha Eish, Sorif Dover Hanimas, Kigon Zephis Vishaiva Vachomine Ravav, just like fire melts different substances like Zephis and Shaiva, Shaiva is wax and other kinds of fats. Mayim Tiva Eish, Uchemayim, Shemivabim Eso Eish, Kishinoisim Mayim Alo Eish. When you pour water on fire, nasim kemin ababuos or resichus, the water starts to bubble, and those are ababuos, bubbles are formed. V'sefer dekra hachihu lodia shimcha litzarecha. Kane todi ashimcha letzerecha kishe tovdei min olam. So too, the end of the pasuk, it says, your fame will be known to those who oppress you, to those who hate you, when you come and destroy them from the world. So the Gemara is suggesting that mave could mean mayim, water, as a cause of damage, and that would be the mave of the Mishnah. The Gemara says miksiv mayim nivru. Here you have a grammatical objection. Does it say mayim nivru? In order for our suggested reading and explanation of the pasuk that water comes and eliminates fire when you pour the water onto the fire, so it causes a bubbling. That was the word tiv'eh, and the extinguishing of the fire. But it doesn't say, the pasuk doesn't say that. How do we know that? Because it doesn't say nivru. Nivru is a plural form. And mayim, the word mayim, water, is in Hebrew in the plural form. It would have been more appropriate for the pasuk, if mayim is the subject of tiv'eh, it would have said mayim nivu. Tiv'eh eish ksiv. Rather, what the pasuk is saying is that fire, which is in the singular, it will cause the elimination of water. And if you leave water on the fire, it evaporates in the boiling. So you can't say from a grammatical standpoint that this pasuk would be featuring mayim as maveh. Rather, in this pasuk, if anything, mayim is the victim of the fire. Well, maskif lo ravzvi veimo mave zeho esh. So then say that mave in fact is the fire. Dechiksiv tiveh beeshu dechiv. As things appear, the word tiveh is in fact a reference to the fire. The fire is the one that is causing the elimination. It's boiling out the water. So mave, the mazik, the damaging force, the destructive force, is fire. The Gemara says, and notice we have a long answer marking, Ihachi, if you're going to say that mave is fire, my hamave veha hev'er. The Mishnah, in addition to shor, bor, and mave, there's also hev'er. Now hev'er is assumed to be fire. But if you're going to say mave is fire, so then you have mave and hever. You have then an absolute repeat. The chitema, you might say that's okay. Pirushi komaforesh, that when the Mishnah says mave, it explains what mave is by saying ha hever. Mave is hever. Is mave is fire. Well, then, if that's the case, ihachi arbo. Do you have then four forms of nezikin featured in the Mishnah? Shlosho havu. You would only have three. You would have the shor, the bor, and the fire. V'chitema. And if you try to say that mave really is fire, and the four that is referred to in the Torah is v'chitema tona shor di'is be'tati, the shor itself has two. So that you would have two of shor, chain and regel, the eating and trampling. You would have mave'eh, which is hever, and you also have bor. So that you have chain regel, fire, true, it appears in the Mishnah in two words, but that doesn't upset the numbering, the number of four avos nezikin. You have four, as we said. You've got the shor, which contains two, and you've got fire, and you've got, that's three, and then you have bor, four. Ihachi. Well, if you're going to say that, then the Mishnah also says the following, and we'll have to explain using this suggestion and read it into the continuation of the Mishnah. It says, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Lo zeh vezeh sheish ben ruach hayim. Like, not this or that, which have the breath of life to them, are like the pit. That's what the Mishnah was saying at this point. We mentioned the Mishnah itself was very terse, so there's a lot of filling in that we have to do, and that's what we're doing right now. Well, according to this understanding, that shor is two things, and that mav'eh is fire, so the Mishnah said, lo zeh vezeh, these are pronouns, lo zeh, not the shor, nor the fire, sheish ben ruach chayim, they have the breath of life to them. They are not like the pit. Well, but Eishmai Ruach Chaim is Bay. What breath of life is there in fire? And yet, at this point in the Mishnah, it mentioned that these two, Shor and Mava, have the breath of life to them. How can you say then that Mav'eh is fire? Fire doesn't have the breath of life in it. V'su Mai Kihare Ha'esh. And furthermore, in the Mishnah it says that they are not like the fire. So in referring to Shor and Maveh, the Mishnah contrasts them with fire. So you can see that the Mishnah itself was understanding Maveh to be something other than fire. So that's the end of our answer. That shows you how we cannot suggest that Mav'eh of the Mishnah is referring to fire. Just a minor correction. Two lines up, the line before, that is, we had read, when reading the quote from the Mishnah of Lo Zeh Vezeh Sheish Ben Ruach Chaim, we should read Kehare Ho'esh, instead of reading like we did something else erroneously. So here the Gemara is asking, if you want to say that Mav'eh is Eish, how do you understand number one, lo zeh vezeh sheish ben ruach chayim, when one of the two things referred to is mave is eish, and you describe it as having the breath of life. And furthermore, the continuation of that very phrase says kehareo eish. But you've already mentioned mave along with shor. Shor and mave are not like eish, but mave itself is eish according to your explanation. So we show, according to your suggestion, that isn't there, we thereby show that mave itself cannot refer to eish. As we move on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. We notice a bow tie on the side of the Gemara. The bow tie is featured under our Nosei Mivneh, and here we have Od Shnei Brises Benoisif LeMishnah, two more Tanaic sources in addition to our Mishnah, im rishimois shel avos nesikin, with lists of things that are described as primary forms of nezek. What does avos mean, the term avos? And we've said already along the way numerous times, avos in the case of damage is a reference to those things that are accounted for, that are written in the Torah. When we say written in the Torah, of course, we mean that written as something that causes you to have to pay. Toni Rav Hoshaya, Shloisha Asar Avos Nezikin. There are 13 forms of Nezikin. We're going to have a list of things. At the end of the list, at the end of this Tanaic source, you can see at the end of the frame, you'll notice Ve'arba'a Demasnisin, and the four of the Mishnah. So if the goal is to get to 13, he will have to give us 9 new points that we didn't see in the Mishnah. 9 plus 4 of the Mishnah, a total of 13. So Toni Rav Hoshaya, Shlosha Asar Avos Nezikin. This is, by the way, in contrast to the next bow tie, where you see Toni Rav Chiya Esrim Va'arba Avos Nezikin. He has a list of 24. So Rav Hoshaya is 13. What do they include? Shomer Chinam Vashoyel Nosei Socher Vasocher. These are four different forms of guarding, of baileys, where a person is entrusted with something, a Shomer Chinam, a person who watches something gratis, not for pay. Shomer, one who borrows an item, so he has your item while he is borrowing it. A no say socher, a paid Bailey. And a socher, one who rents an article. So he has your article that in exchange for his paying rent, he is entitled to use it. Now, in these cases, if anything destructive happens to the item under their watch, they have to compensate. We're not getting into the details. There are, of course, different situations for each one's need to compensate, but the general rule is that they are responsible for the items in that the other person's item that is in their possession. What else is a form of payment that is recorded in the Torah? Nezek, Tsar, Veripui, Sheves, Uboshes. We recently made reference to these additional five forms of payment when we were contrasting an animal with a person. When an animal inflicts damage, so it pays only the Nezek form of payment. That is how much he was worth before the damage and the depreciation as a result of the damage. That's the nezek. That's what Rashi says here. Nezek hachoyv b'chavero noisei mashu shove achshov pochos mi batchila. It's the amount that you pay for his current market value, which is as a result of the damage less than he was worth before the market value. Tsar, that is also explained by Rashi, which we'll read together. Tsar, oimdem kama odom ha'oimed yodu liktsits. Al yedei cherev, roitzili ten kidei shiiskatsi tzal yedei sam. De lesle tsar kulehai. In order to calculate tsar, imagine a person who's been sentenced by the government to have, as a punishment, his arm amputated without any anesthetic. How much would a person pay to have that same amputation take place, but with anesthetic, which would significantly reduce any pain in the course of the amputation? So the person experienced pain when he was being damaged. How much would a person pay to have that same experience, but without the pain? Ripui, medical expenses. Sheves is a payment that's made, we would call unemployment. And the Gemara later in the Masichta deals in greater detail in how to calculate that. Uboishes, payment for the shame, the embarrassment that the victim experienced. The arba de masnisin plus the four of the Mishnah ha'tleisar, that gives you a total of 13 avos nezikin, 13 payments that are recorded, each one in the Torah. The tana didan my time alotani hachi. In our marking scheme, we have a double underline to highlight this question that you'll see repeated later on. My time alotani hani. Why did our Mishnah Daf Beis not teach Hani these? So HaGemara on the side, we read our note, HaGemara Mevareres Loma Atana Shem Lameh Pochos Birushimoso Lom Lameh Yosef Birushimoso. Here and later in the Gemara, we'll be asking, why does our Mishnah, which teaches fewer, not teach the greater amount that are featured by these Tanoim? Later, the Gemara will be asking, when we see Reb Chiya's 24, the focus of the Gemara will be on Reb Oshai, who taught only 13. Why does he not teach all those that Reb Chiya includes in his Tanaic source? So, our question is, the double underline, my time alo toni hani, tana didan, meaning our Mishnah, which taught four, why doesn't it teach these? Bishlamo Shmuel, I can understand, according to Shmuel, who said, Mave is shame of an animal. Beniske momon komairi, beniske gufa lo komairi. The Mishnah on Daf Beis is interested in teaching nezek, damage caused by property you own. Animals, pits, fire. Nezke Gufo, but damage caused by the person himself, that wasn't the agenda of the Mishnah on Daf Beis. Ela LaRav listening, but according to Rav, that said, Mave is Odom Hamazik, why doesn't our Mishnah teach these? The Gemara answers, well, it does. Tana Odom, the Chomili the Odom. Our Mishnah mentioned Mave, which according to Rav is Odom. Odom and every form of payment that an Odom, that a person would have to make. If a person was a guard, if a person was borrowing something, if a person inflicted damage on someone, we saw the payments that he has to make, and they were included in our Mishnah, just in one word. Well, according to Rabbi Shaya, who troubled himself to list all of these, but weren't all of them included in our Mishnah? What does Rabbi Shaya accomplish by spelling out the 13 different payments when our Mishnah would have seemingly already done the job? The Gemara answers, Trei Gavni Odom. There are two aspects of Odom. Tona Odom Da'azik Odom. The Tona Odom Da'azik Shor. You have the case of a person that causes damage to another person. That would be what Rav Shaya was featuring. The Tona Odom Da'azik Shor, and our Mishnah features the case of a person damaging someone else's animal. So you have person damaging person. That's what Rav Shaya is trying to highlight. And you have our Mishnah, which features a person damaging an ox. Ihochi, well, Shor Nami Lisni, Trei Gavni Shor. Well, then, in the case of Shor, let there be two sources featuring oxen. Lisni Shor Da'azik Shor. For Lisni Shor Da'azik Odom. Teach about a Shor, that an ox that gores an ox, and an ox that gores a person. The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer. Hi, my. How can you compare the need for teaching two forms of Odom Hamazik and in that light suggest two forms of Shor Hamazik? That which we have two forms of Odom Hamazik, of man that inflicts damage, Bishlamo Odom Da'azik Shor, Nezek Hu De'Mishalem, Odom Da'azik Odom, Mishalem Arba Dvorim. You can see a contrast between Odom, person that injures an animal, that inflicts damage on an animal, he pays only one of the five payments, the Nezek payment, payment for damages. When it comes to Odom Da'azik Odom, though, man hurting, damaging another man, there are four additional payments that we've already mentioned a couple times today. In addition to the Nezek, there's Tsar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. So there's a difference between Odom Hamazik Odom versus Odom Hamazik Shor, hence the need for recording Odom in two different contexts. Ela Shor, but your suggestion of having two references to Shor Hamazik, Mali Shor Da'azik Shor, Mali Shor Da'azik Odom. What difference is there in between a case of an animal that damages an animal versus an animal that damages a person, Edik Vidi Nezek Udim Mishalem? In both cases, the only payment that's made, even when Shor Azik Odom, the only payment that's made is the Nezek payment. The other payments, Shevis, Boishis, Ripui, and Tsar, are not paid. So there's no distinction when the Shor is the perpetrator. The Gemara asks, you just said that Rav Shaya featured Odom Da'azik Odom. Notice the arrow, and you can connect it with the arrow above. This was a quote from the Rav Shaya source that four different kinds of Shoimrim, the Odom, Da'azik, Shor, Hu, Vikotoni. Then we're not talking about babysitters, we're talking about a Shomer who acted with negligence some form of culpable behavior with regard to his watching of an animal. So it's a case of Odom, the Shomer, the guard, who caused the damage by his laxness to an animal. So it's Adam Dazik Shor. So how can you say that Rav Hoshaya's list features Adam Dazik Adam? So the Gemara answers. It will say a new distinction. And that's why you can see we have a number two with a trapezoid. This is a second approach in order to make a distinction between what Rav Hoshaya was trying to accomplish and what our Mishnah's agenda had been. So Toni Hezeka de Biodayim, Vikotoni Hezeka de Memela. Our Mishnah teaches Hezek, and once again, according to Rav, that Mava is Adam, proactive damage, where the person in an active form wreaks damage upon the victim. Vikotoni Hezeka de Memela, Rav Hoshaya teaches Hezek that happens in a passive form. In other words, the shomer, the guard, he was lax. He fell asleep on duty, so to speak. He didn't do something proactively to cause the damage. Damage resulted, and he's responsible. But we call that Hezeka de Memela, and hence the justification for Rav Hoshaya's separate list. We should have pointed out earlier, but it's not too late. On the side, under our markings, we have the trapezoid featured. And now, in retrospect, you can see what the Gemara was trying to do. And let's read the note on the side. Tshuvos, or shlavim, stages in giving an answer. Lahavin, ma moisiv Rav Hoshaya bedugmoy shalo. What does Rav Hoshaya accomplish in adding his examples? Shalo de mamazik, shalo kvar klulim b'mishna b'maveh. That are not already included in the Mishnah's presentation of Adam Hamazik through the word Maveh, Shu Adam Hamazik Valiba de Rav. According to Rav, Maveh was Adam. So in the final stage of the Gemara, Rav Hoshaya was teaching an aspect of Adam Hamazik that was not dealt with by the Mishnah. The Mishnah was dealing with Hezeka Dibiodayim, literally a man who damages through his hands. That's Yodayim. Yad symbolizes something of an active nature, something proactive on the part of the person who's wreaking the damage. Rav Hoshaya spoke about those forms of payment that result when damage happens memela, in a passive form. Toni Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya has his list of avos nezikin, and he says, "Esrim v'arba avos nezikin," and they include. Before we go further, just to note the 24, the number. You see, we have a numbering scheme in this source as well. The numbers list 11 points, and then at the end of the source it says "Vahani tleisar," and 11 plus an additional 13. Well, where are the 13? The 13 were what Rav Hoshaya had mentioned above. There's no need to reprint that. So all you mention is 11. 11 plus 13 gives you 24. And of course, the 13 of Rav Hoshaya was really 9 plus the 4 of the Mishnah. 13. What are the payments alluded to? And once again, these are all payments that you find scriptural references for them. In the Gemara, Toni Rabbi Chiya, Esrim v'arba avos nezikin, there are 24 forms of payment accounted for in the Torah. Tashlume kefel, tashlume arba v'chamisha. A theft takes place. And in the theft, there, if it's done in a surreptitious fashion, the thief has to pay double the principal value of the item that he stole, plus one more time. That's twice the value. If the item stolen was an animal that he stole, in addition to stealing, he slaughtered it or sold it, so then he has to pay four or five times the value. Depending on what kind of animal, if it was an animal that was hard for him to steal, he had to sling it around his shoulders, so he'll pay only four times the original value. It means principal plus three. And if it was easy for him to just lead the animal out of the owner's possession, then he'll pay five times the value. Original, it's principal plus four. That's in the event that he, the thief, in addition to stealing it, he slaughtered or sold it. For Ganov, for Gazlon, payments made for theft in a surreptitious fashion. For Gazlon is an open type thievery, in broad daylight, if you will. The Eidim Zoymimim, witnesses that attempted to testify and through their testimony impose payment upon a defendant. And in fact, their own testimony was false. And the falseness was as a result of, was a function of their inability to having been there at the time that they were claiming the payment needed to be made. And that's a result of two other witnesses coming and telling us that, hey, you guys, how could you testify that Mr. X is obligated to pay Mr. X borrowed money from Mr. Y when you were with us on that very day somewhere else? So those false witnesses themselves have to pay the amount that they tried to impose on the defendant. The oinus, the mefata oinus, is a payment for rape. Mefata, a payment for seducing. Seducing a woman, umotzi shemra, a payment made for lying about a woman's virginity when he married her. Vametame, one who defiles someone else's produce. Vametamea, medamea is where a person mixes truma, the tithe given to kohanim, into a person's chulin, his own personal food. Once there is a mixture of truma with chulin, that mixture is called dimua, and it loses value because at that point the only people that can eat it are kohanim. So there's a limited market for those, for that. Hence, there is depreciation as a result of having mixed truma into the person's chulin. V'hamenasech, that's a process whereby person stirs someone else's wine with idolatrous intention. He stirs the wine as an act of service to an idol. 11, and that of course creates the obligation to compensate, because once wine is stirred for an avodah zorah for idolatrous purposes, the wine loses all value, becomes ulcer bahano. You can't even derive any benefit from it. 11 forms of payment, vahani tlesar, and the 13 points mentioned above, ha esrim varba, there you got 24. The Gemara asks Rabbi Shaya, who we saw above, who mentioned 13, my time alo toni hani, why did he not mention these? Answer, b'mamona komairi, b'knosa lo komairi. Rabbi Shaya was interested in featuring payments that we categorize as mamon payments. A mamon payment, a financial payment, is generally speaking a payment that corresponds with the value of the loss, but not additional payments or Torah fixed payments. Those kind of payments, additional payments or Torah fixed payments that are made without any regard to the actual value of the damage, those are called knas. In English, it's translated often as a fine, but it's a form of payment that doesn't match the actual value of the damage. So Rabbi Shaya, who mentioned 13, was mentioning only mamon type payments, not payments like we had here, Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha or Tashlumi Kefil. Those are clearly payments that go beyond the actual value of the damage that was imposed. The Gemara asks, and now we have a series of questions. You'll notice on the side we have a Nosei Mivne heading. We have dot underlining and leading into a triangle. The triangle highlights the expression de bamona hu. So if you just look over the Gemara, scan the Gemara with your eyes, you see triangles, and leading up to the triangles, right here we have Gana Vigazlan, and those are mamon. You have on the top of Daf Hey, you have Eidim Zoymimim, and it says de bamona hu, and later you have Ha'oinis Mefate de bamona. And then you have mitame, medamea, menasech. All these payments that we saw in Reb Chiya's source that happened to be mamon payments, why didn't Reb Hoshaya, who you just said lists mamon payments, why did he not list these? Now the Gemara. Actually, let's look completely the note on the side. We had featured the dot underlining and the triangle. The mamonahu sheilos hamechuvonos Reb Hoshaya. These are questions directed at Reb Hoshaya. The kolta shlemei mamon shimaso, that included mamon payments below knas and not knas type payments. Im kein loma lo rosham. Why did he not include? Why did he not include these? And these are the triangles that we have numbered 1 through 4 in the upcoming Gemara. So now the Gemara. Gano v'gazlon d'mamonahu lisni. If a person commits a theft, he has to pay back the principal value. That is, that's a mamon payment. Why are they not taught? In the case of a ganav, we know that he had, a ganav payment is associated with kefel. But if he admits that he stole, he doesn't pay the double amount. He pays just the principal. So a principal payment, that corresponds to the value of the item stolen. And a gazlan also, he only pays principal in general. Why is that not included in Reb Hoshaya's source? The Gemara says, Hokotoni lei shomer chinam. The Gemara mentions shoel also, but Rashi says it's not, it's shoel is just brought in by the way. The Mishnah, the Brice of Reb Chiya, of Reb Hoshaya, that is, included shomer chinam. He was number one in that list. Shomer chinam is a person who watches something gratis. In the event that he claims as a shomer, you know, the item that you gave to me was stolen. And then it turns out, and he swears to that effect, and it turns out that he was lying. He made a claim of theft which would have exempted him. And then he swore to that effect. If it turns out that he's lying, he has to pay what he has to pay the value of the item. So by teaching Shomer Chinam, that includes within it the theft idea, as we mentioned, because in his claim of theft, he'll end up, if he's lying, to have to pay for it, just like a thief. Ah, Rabbi Chiya, Nami, Ha, Tono, Le, Shomer Chinam, Vashayel. Rabbi Chiya, who added Ganav and Gazlan, but Reb Chiya already included in his 24 that which Reb Hoshaya mentioned, Shomer Chinam. So according to this analysis, Ganav and Shomer Chinam are in effect one and the same. Why does Reb Chiya list them as separate? Because in order to get to 24, he had to mention the case of Ganav and the case of Shomer Chinam as two separate accountings. Why then does he do that when, according to Reb Hoshaya, they seem to be one and the same? The Gemara answers, Toni Mamona Da'asa Liyode Betera V'Katoni Mamona Da'asa Liyode B'Yisura. Rabbi Chiya wants to make a distinction and hence teach as separately Mamon that comes to you, items that come to you in a heter form, heter meaning in a legitimate permissible form. If you were asked to watch something, it came to you beheter. Heter means permissibly. Ah, you claimed later on in a false fashion that it was stolen. That doesn't change the fact that you originally got it beheter. Now that's in contrast to theft, where your initial possession of the item was through an act of prohibition, through sin, through theft. So they deserve to be classified as two separate payments. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Hey. Eidim Zoymimim, Dimamonahu Lisni. these false witnesses who tried to impose a payment on the defendant in a false fashion, they in turn have to pay that amount. So this is an amount that corresponds to what they were trying to impose on someone else. Dimamona hu lisni, that's a momon type payment. It's not a double payment. It's not four or five. Those are knas. Here you have a payment that corresponds to what they were trying to impose. So why does Rabbi Shaya not list edims? Only Rabbi Chiya made mention of that. The Gemara answers, Sovar lo ka Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yoshaya adopts Rabbi Akiva's approach to the realm of edim zomimim. Diomar, Rabbi Akiva holds, Ein mishalmin al pi atzmon. If these false witnesses were, let us say, found to be false in court, number one, and they, before making their payment, they ran away, and on their own volition, they came to court, number two, and they confessed, you know, we lied in court, number one, and we were found to be edim zomimim. If they do that, they are free, they are exempt from having to make the payment. That's called moide beknas. A person who's moide beknas, if by admitting you become exempt, that shows that the type of payment is a knas payment. That, by the way, is in contrast to someone who says, I admit that I owe a loan to so-and-so. If you admit that you owe money because you borrowed money from someone, you have to pay that. The fact that you're coming forth on your own, you're confessing that, doesn't change the need to pay things. However, those kind of payments, and there are other examples of that, where if you come forth and admit it, you have thereby exempted yourself from it. So that's Rabbi Akiva's approach to Edim Zomimim. And therefore, Rabbi Shaya, who did not mention Knas payments, doesn't mention Edim Zomimim. Well, Isovar Le Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Shaya holds like Rabbi Akiva, then Lisni Trey Gavni Shor. You may notice we have a star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This issue of Trey Gavni Shor was raised with regard to Rabbi Shaya on Dalin Omid Beis, and the Gemara dismissed it because Shor Da'azik Shor and Shor Da'azik Odom, we said there, it's the same kind of payment. It's a Nezek payment. However, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, you will see that there is actually a distinction as follows. Lisni Shor Da'azik Shor, for Lisni Shor Da'azik Odom. Teach Shor that pays as a Shor Tam, pays half damage, does not pay full damage. If it's a Shor Tam, a docile Shor, it'll pay half the damages. A Shor that injures a person, the Shor could end up having to pay full damage. Disnan. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Af Tam Shechova Ba'odom. Even though it's a docile animal, according to Rabbi Akiva, if the injury is caused to a person, Mishalim B'mosar Nezek Sholem, he'll have to pay the full damages to the extent that there is a balance in favor of the man that was damaged. Let's take a look at Rashi. B'mosar, a few lines down from here. Im choval odom b'shor tam, v'tam ba'odom. Let's say there was a confrontation between an animal and an ox, and it was a shor tam, a docile animal. V'shomu based in chavola shechaval shor ba'odom yoser mechavola shechaval odom b'shor. And Beis Din calculated that the damage that the animal imposed on the man was greater than the damage the animal that the man imposed in the animal. There's a balance then in favor of the victim, the man victim. Mishalein bal hashor osu odef. The owner of the animal has to pay that balance, so that the case of odom, of Shor Hamazik Odom, is different than the case of Shor Hamazik Shor. In the case of Shor Hamazik Shor, the maximum payment will be Chatzi Nezek. In the case of Shor Da'azik Odom, you see reference to a Nezek Sholem. The Gemara responds, Ho tavre Rabbi Kiva ligzize. This is an expression. The literal translation is tavre is to break, gzize his strength. Rabbi Kiva himself has a position on this matter that results in showing us that the person who was damaged by an ox is not going to get. He's not going to get full damages. He's not necessarily going to get the balance in terms of full damages. So that, just like Odom, just like Shor HaMazik Shor pays less than full damages, so too Shor HaMazik Odom will, at the end of the day, probably not pay full damages. Now, what do we mean by that? Desanya, Rabbi Kiva Oimer. Rabbi Akiva says, and the focus, of course, of this discussion is on Rabbi Akiva. He says, "Yochol af tam shechova ba'odom yishalei minu aliyah." Could it be that a docile animal that injures a person will pay minu aliyah? Is an expression we've seen in the past. It means, without translating, it means paying out of pocket, meaning a payment that extends beyond the value of the animal itself. We know, for example, that if a shor tam causes damage, he pays chatzi nezek, he'll pay half the damages, but only up to the value of the animal itself, the animal that does the damage. So if you have an animal an animal that's worth, let us say, $100, and it caused $400 worth of damage in the victim, and it's a docile $100 animal, chatzi nezek, half of $400, of the value of the damage is $200. But $200 exceeds the value of the perpetrator animal. The animal that caused the damage was worth only $100. In a case like that, a short time, the owner will pay only $100. Maximum will be to pay $100, the value of the animal. That's called mishale migufo. He doesn't pay the full $200 representing the chatzi nezek. That would have been minhu aliyah. That's out of pocket. And a shor tam that damages another ox does not pay minhu aliyah. Here we're asking, could it be that a tam, a docile animal that injures a person, would pay minhu aliyah? Talmud lomar yaseh lo, which means migufo mishalim v'eino mishalim minhu aliyah. That even when the person is a victim, the payment is only up till the value of the animal that caused the damage and not any more than that. So the result of this is that a shor that's mazik adam also isn't going to pay absolute full damages. And therefore, Rabbi Shaya found no need to teach two kinds of shor hamazik. Question, ha'oines v'hamefateh. The next phrase we have in brackets, based on Tosfos, is not really essential to this discussion, the case of Motzi Shemra, but in the case of rape and seduction, there is a payment that the offender must make, dimamonahu, it would seem to be a mamon payment, listening. The Gemara asks, there's no need for Rabbi Shaya to specify oines and mefateh. Monafshach. Either way you look at things. E nezek tonale. E tsar tonale. In the case of a rape, a number of things happen to the unfortunate victim. There is damage. There is pain. There is embarrassment. There is depreciation. There are all kinds of payments that are included in the case of rape. And that, by the way, all those payments we just made are in addition to the 50 pieces of silver, the chamishim kesef that the Torah imposes on the offender for having done this reprehensible act. So, in addition to the 50. You have these other payments. So our question is, in the case of Oynes and Mefateh, why does Rav Shaya not mention them? So the Gemara's answer is, Monafshach, either way you look at things. E nezek tonalei. If it's the nezek form of payment, well, Rav Shaya already accounted for nezek. E tsar tonalei. Likewise, with regard to tsar, e boishes tonalei. If it's regarding the embarrassment value that he's taught, e pagam, hainu nezek. And if it's pagam, which is depreciation, that's included in the nezek payment, which he has to make, and nezek was already included by Reb Hoshaya. My is loch lemeimar knosa. What's there left to speak of? The knas, the 50 pieces of silver. But we already said that Reb Hoshaya doesn't deal with knas forms of payment. Those payments that are irrespective of what the actual damage that resulted must be paid. Knas payments are not part of Reb Hoshaya's list. Question: Hametame v'hamedameya v'hamenasech demamonahu lisni, defiling and mixing truma with chulin and stirring of wine for idolatrous purposes. Those are damages. Why does Reb Hoshaya not list them? Answer: Monafshach. Either way you look at things, e hezek sheno nikush me hezek. These forms of damage, if you defile someone's produce, you don't notice any change. You don't notice any damage. It's a spiritual damage. It's hezek. It's a damage. She'eino nikur. It's not noticeable. How do you classify damages like that? Stirring wine. The wine hasn't changed. How do you classify that? That's called hezek she'eino nikur. So if you say hezek she'eino nikur is actual nezek, ha'tonale nezek, Reb Hoshaya already mentioned nezek as number 5 in his list. E hezek she'eino nikur lo shmei hezek. Havilei knosa, if unnoticeable damage is not classified as actual damage, then the need to pay for it comes under the category of knas. Ube knosa lo komairin. Reb Hoshaya was not interested in listing knas payments. Lema kosover abichia, hezek shenu nikr lo shmei hezek. Should we say that Rabbi Chia holds that hezek shenu nikr is not considered hezek? The Ishmei Hezek, if it were considered Nezek, then Hotonale Nezek. Rabbi Chia already mentioned Nezek. He mentioned that as part of including the list of Reb Hoshaya. So should we conclude that according to Rabbi Chia, Hezek Sheino Nikur is not considered Hezek? The Gemara says not so. In general, Rabbi Chia will say that unnoticeable Hezek is Nezek. Tana hezeka de minkara, the tana hezeka de lo minkara. He taught two kinds of nezek. Hezek that's nikr, and hezek that's not nikr. But that we're not suggesting that Reb Chia says that hezek shein nikr is not called hezek at all. It would be called knas. And by the way, if you would have called it knas, then that would have given rise to what we alluded to earlier, that if one would concede, would admit before being brought into court on the topic, he would admit it on his own, he would become exempt by being moide b'knas. But if you say whether it's nikr, even if it's not nikr, it's called nezek, then your confessing it would not result in your exemption from payment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.